Thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
From Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee, or honestly, just from all the places where we're quarantining, this is the Journey Now Roundtable.
That's right.
No intro jokes today, people. We're all out for 2020.
We're all business. Yeah. No.
Come back all next business. Year. We're expecting a new shipment. But meanwhile, welcome again. Thanks for hanging out with us. My name is Grant, and I'm here at least today on Zoom with Kevin Dixon.
Hey.
And Susie Lynn.
Hi.
And Mike Erie.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we're recording.
It's all true. Everything you said was true.
Yep. We're
Your
good.
Name? Yeah.
Let's roll.
Okay, we're good. So we're recording this episode literally on the darkest day of the year. The
winter
equinox, right?
Oh, it is. That's right.
It's airing Wednesday, but just so you know, we do not do this live for each person who downloads it. So it's being recorded on Monday.
Being crushed.
Yes.
And on Sunday, Susie read from, among other places, John 1. Oh, hey, look who just joined us.
Who is it?
It's Tim Timmons. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys.
Tim, we're recording, so just plan your intro accordingly.
So
that was good.
Look at that. Look at the editing that just happened there. It's proof Timmons can edit.
Wrong. You guys get video, or you guys get audio, but we're actually seeing the video of this train wreck. So
yes.
On Sunday.
On Tuesday. Yes.
You're welcome, Grant. You're welcome.
It really is Tuesday, isn't it?
It is. It's
every
Tuesday.
Day is Tuesday.
Every day was Tuesday.
We read from a lot of places in the Bible, but particularly also from John 1, which is the passage that describes Jesus's arrival as a light that shines in the darkness. And after that, I happened to read an essay from a woman named Regina Hansen of Boston University about, it was called The Darker Side of Christmas, which is like the most 2020 article that you could possibly have. But it struck me that it's the truth, the light that comes in the middle of darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it, but there's still darkness in the world.
Yeah.
Just because the darkness is defeated doesn't mean it's all gone away. So what do you all think about that?
Yeah, the intriguing part of that is that in the midst of darkness, if have you ever been in a completely pitch black room where you can't even see your hand in front of your face, and there's just a little glimmer of light under the door, it changes the complexion of the whole room. It goes from pitch black to a lighter black, and it's there's something about the introduction of light into darkness that alleviates fear. But what the picture that she's painting is the fact that we, in the darkness, there's a lot of unknown, and there's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of struggle in the dark because you cannot see. And so really what the picture there in John 1 is we're starting to see.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. But, you know, so that's exactly right. But there's this motif that runs even through secular Christmas. You have Charles Dickens writing a ghost story.
Yeah.
You have Santa Claus that punishes the naughty children. And my
I'm
favorite.
Sure he does.
You're right. Yeah. Well, how do you know that, Mike?
Hypothetically, I have friends who've been naughty.
So my favorite from the article is she mentioned that on Christmas Eve in South Africa, houses are supposedly haunted by a boy named Danny.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
who was beaten to death by his grandmother for eating cookies left out for Santa Claus.
Like, whoa. You do. Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's rough.
So, you know, Merry Christmas, everybody. Kevin, you like cookies.
I love cookies.
How was your relationship with grandma?
I'm pretty sure I'd have got beaten to death. Because, dang, that fat man doesn't need any more cookies on Christmas. So I would have indulged greatly in his offering of cookies. So, yes, Kevin Dixon would have been beat mercilessly because he loves cookies.
But we see this even in the church calendar, and I brought it up sort of as a joke, but what I thought was fascinating, we don't observe it at Journey, but December 26th, the day after Christmas, is the traditional feast to remember the stoning of St. Stephen. And then 2 days later, on December 28th, is the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which commemorates all of the baby boys that were killed in Bethlehem by King Herod.
Herod, yeah.
So what do you think is going on there? Why is it so important that even in the church, there is this blend at Christmas time of bitter and sweet, of joy and absolute gruesomeness?
Well, I would venture to say that this, you know, there's something really, I've always been drawn, or not always, but recently, I guess, the last few years, have really been drawn to the liturgical calendar.
It's part of why I asked the question.
I know. And we joke about this a lot in our friendly meetings, just, you know, this whole idea of Lent and Advent. But the liturgical calendar, I think, really draws our attention to the real story, you know? And, you know, Mike used the word tinselized a few weeks ago. That was a great word. But the commercialism and the traditions of Christmas have really overwhelmed the truth of the story, which isn't all bad news. Obviously, it's all very good news. But in order to know that it's good news, you have to experience the bad news. It's not good unless you've experienced the bad to know just how good the news is. And so all those things in the calendar, I think the times of preparation, the feasts, and all those things give us moments to pause and turn our attention to the actual story.
So
yeah. We've sanitized the story.
Mm-hmm. You've got to help us out a little bit on this, Mike, because this gets...
I got to rescue this thing, yep.
No, because I'm
coming in hot.
To me, it's beautiful and it's confusing at the same time, right? How theologically does this idea of pure light and completion, restoration, that we get from Jesus's life coexist with the darkness that we are still feeling 2,000 years later?
Wow. Well, we could riff on that for the next hour. Because that is indeed a really profound question the early church wrestled with, right? Because what are you laughing at, Susie?
I'm just laughing because you're rocking and Mike's putting on Kevin is putting on his mask. It's like, what's about to happen?
Mike is trying to have a serious discussion and Kevin has his mask on, and on the Zoom call, he's labeled as grumpy.
It's
Journey. It's tough as a professional thinker to deal with these kind of conditions, but we'll manage. So the first thing I want to say, Mr. Grant, which is, and I love that you chose this topic, I think it's so genius, is incarnation, if it means enfleshment, and for it to mean anything, it has to mean the unsavory bits. And so what I love about the Christmas story is that none of those are glossed over. Now, Americans have glossed them over, as we've said, but the way Jews would have read this, it was not the sanitized, oh, isn't this pretty and silent and holy and whatever else. It was ugly, and there were all sorts of things going on. Theologically, what's happening is Jesus is reconfiguring Jewish expectations about when the Messianic age, when all of this will be put to rights. the Jews thought either that there were two messiahs coming, one priestly, one military, or there was one messiah coming who was going to come and usher in, and this is hinted at all throughout the beginning of Luke, the Davidic throne that would deal with Rome once and for all. So when Jesus comes and offers the unmistakable signs that the age to come is broken out right in the middle of the evil of this present age, they have no clue what's happening till Jesus begins to teach them. No, it's one Messiah coming twice. The Messiah comes, and it's what we talked about several episodes ago. It's when a president has lost an election but is still in office, right? That in-between time is what we live in. Well, it doesn't matter who the president is. This happens every time there's somebody that loses. It's a lame duck period, right? And so the biblical teaching is that Satan was roundly defeated in Jesus' first coming, but is in a lame duck period awaiting the renewal of all things accompanied by Christ's second coming. So that we sit in the middle of the fullness of the kingdom, but the kingdom has come in Jesus and for us, and in the midst of darkness, it hasn't conquered everything in terms of the reality of our experience, but what it's done is exhausted the power of evil over us so that we can anticipate the second coming. Am I going too far on this?
No, I think it's fabulous.
You wanted me to go, so I'm going, and so take that.
So does the carryover then, does the lame duck then wreak as much havoc as they can prior to the arrival of said
coming, I don't know, you tell me. You tell
coming
me.
Messiah.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And there could be parallels currently or not. I'm not sure how you want to take that.
No, but I was just asking. Just curious. But
that was a central objection. And I hear this from Jewish scholars even today. Why don't you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And the answer is there's no peace on earth. How could Jesus be the Christ if evil is still winning? And the Christian answer to that was the resurrection of Jesus and the pouring out of the Spirit. Those were the two things promised that the Messiah would usher in and inaugurate. And you see it in Jesus, but only partially. Right, you see the coming of the Spirit to everybody who accepts Christ, and you see the resurrection of Jesus and then a few of the righteous dead in Jerusalem, according to Matthew, and that was it. So the central question is, well, how do we put this thing together? And the New Testament's answer is, well, Jesus is coming twice. So evil, sin, and death still exist, but only now for a finite time. They will be gone completely. And so the Christmas story becomes the assurance of the beginning of that story and the assurance of the end of that story as we live in the in-between time.
Excellent. I love it.
So good.
I love it. So we got 2 minutes left. I'm feeling really
Timmons
badly
time.
That
Timmons
that
time.
Timmons has not gotten.
But Timmons
just,
time.
We're doing great. I had a question about the Lakers, so... I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
The Lakers used to be a basketball team from Minneapolis.
Here we go. Here we go.
But they go. will only still reign for a short period of time until there is a second
snap.
Coming.
There it is.
Right. Yeah.
There it is. Works. There it is.
Awesome. Hey,
before we sign off, and since we're nearly at the end of the year, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about all the changes that we have planned for Journey Now in 2021. I'd like to just sort of go through, there's a theme and a host for each day of the week. Who wants to
hey, and we're all
put
here.
That on? It's not named Mike.
We're all here. This we can speak to our own.
Go.
Wow. Yeah. Actually, you should be the host of this thing, Kevin.
No, I mean I'm grumpy.
So Monday. Let's do Monday.
Monday. That's Mike.
Go.
All right. Well, what we wanted to do was we wanted to reformat Journey Now so that there was content that aligned with different audiences in the church. And so we created kind of we want to create a daily podcast throughout the week with different emphases. And so, you know, kind of coming out of the idea of a roundtable Wednesday, we liked that we always did roundtables on Wednesday. we thought, hey, there's some creative folks. And so what if we did a podcast kind of for each day of the week? So I'm going to do Mondays, Mike Mondays, because we couldn't find anything else that began with M. And this is going to be conversations with people in the Journey community who are wrestling through some big questions, who are doubting and deconstructing. We want to create a place for people to have permission to be honest about where they're at and the parts of historic Christian teaching that are tough for us to work through.
So that's Monday with Mike.
Yep.
Tuesday is Tim Timmons Tuesday.
I mean, it's alliteration with a cube.
Suckers. Brent, if we're going to do this, do it right. It's 10K Tuesday.
Come on. 10K. Come on.
10K Tuesday.
Yeah, the point of, 10,000 minutes is helping us with whatever we talked about on Sunday morning. It's not just hopefully stopping there, but it's saying, what's it look like for us to actually put this into practice and join Jesus with that concept during the week? So and even if it's just an awareness, that's the hope, is that this stuff doesn't just stop on Sunday morning, but we kind of are going through a week going, Jesus, what does it look like? Like Susie's, I haven't really thought about this much, but I loved, Susie, your question this week, this past weekend, how often do we not recognize Jesus? So one of the practices for this week, I'm actually working on it in a little bit, but my thought is just being aware of the places where Jesus might be this week that I wouldn't normally be looking for him in certain places. So that's the point of 10,000 minutes Tuesdays.
That's awesome. Wednesdays will continue to be the roundtable like you're listening to today. Doesn't have anything to do with the letter W, except we are all part of it. Thursdays, Kevin.
Yeah, Theology Thursday, where we move into this arena of how to build or reconstruct theology. And having a conversation with Susie and with Mike around some of the more foundational theological ideas and principles to engage in a discussion to help rebuild, or if you are deconstructing, if you're not, just to reaffirm what you believe. But we'll be taking in bite-sized portions to allow people to kind of digest, think through, ask questions if they need to. Which would help shape some of the future ones.
And then finishing up the week, we have Formation Fridays.
Ricky Rise.
Yep. Formation Fridays is going to be hosted by me. And I'll have a guest on with me every Friday. And we're going to talk to people who are experiencing things or things that we have to learn from them about and how God is forming us and shaping us to be more like him.
Fantastic. So all of that's coming in January, and look for it. Meanwhile, that's it for today. If these podcasts are light in the darkness of your ear canals, let us know. You can contact me at grant@journeytn.com. Also, give us a rating, write a review, share our podcast, which is now available on Spotify, iTunes, I think SoundCloud, basically wherever fine podcasts are sold. Let's bring some Journey Now light to the whole world. And last, I want to give a shout out today, since we're at the end of the year, to everyone off mic who makes Journey Now possible. Justin Glotzbach somehow engineers our audio every week, even though circumstances change ridiculously. Kaylee Sullivan designed our new artwork, which is amazing. Kristen Fields gets the Now word out online and all the socials. And Randy Hansen figures out everything technical that no one else understands. That's it for today. Until our next episode, take care of yourselves and Merry Christmas from all of us at the Roundtable.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.